Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yes, this is good. This is good, Alistair. Give it to me. Hello and welcome to Doing the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. Alistair, what do you think of this?
I'm Alistair Charles William Trombley Birchall. That's what I think of it.
And I'm Andy. What do you think about this?
What?
The world record having the most non-essential bits taken out of your body.
Okay, right. The most non-essential bits. Okay.
Because I feel like, you know, whenever people get things taken out of the body, it's either like the appendix.
I thought you meant Andy. Because there's two ways to hear that. It's the way that I now understand that you meant it, which is to have the most, to have the most parts of your body taken out that are non-essential.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But not. But I first interpreted it as to have the parts of your body taken out. You are the person who has had the parts of his body taken out that are the most non-essential. I mean, there are two records here up for grabs.
Yeah, and that's exciting. This is gonna need a whole page in the Guinness Book of please.
Book of what, Andy? Anyway. Come on.
World records. Oh. Alistair.
Yeah.
Okay, so the one that I'm thinking is that, like, you know, there are I think I'd love to see the person who surgically has got themselves down to the bare minimum, right? He's running a lean ship, right? A skeleton crew.
Yeah.
And they're not a skeleton.
No.
But, like, you know, in terms of, they've just got it back to the basics. I think there's a skeleton
crew on a body
that
involves a lot of skin and muscle.
Yes, correct.
But less skin than you would think a person needs.
Well, that's part of what I'm excited about.
A lot of the external layers, do you think, could probably go? They're just there for comfort.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're a luxury.
They're a luxury.
We can ill afford.
That's right, because a lot of them are just so you don't feel the sensation of burning when you're exposed to the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. You just expect that now. But you see, you give people the luxury of not burning when exposed to air.
It's
and
like
after a while, they start to expect it.
Yeah, it's like a dog. Like a dog that you feed. A stray dog that you feed.
Yes. They keep coming back for more
layers of skin.
Not burning. Yes.
So what else do you think?
Anyway,
and do you picture
this? I don't like this idea.
Eh?
I don't like my idea, by the way.
Well, Andy, I have to start writing
it down. I
want
to move on.
Because you've pushed us to the point where we've talked about it. So we've really talked about it. You know what I mean? Like, do you picture this guy really holy? Like torso, it would be kind of like a hollowed out structure, right? It'd still have mostly its shape.
But yeah, but it's sort of the organs sort of in a sort of a web, hung together in a sort of a web of tendrils.
What do you think about this? For some reason, he's still got love handles.
Oh, it turns out you can't live without him.
Guys, I'm sorry. I tried to do without that last attempt, and I crumbled. I need these.
Yeah,
these are the source of my power.
Cheeks. I call them laugh handles. Now.
But that sounds like somebody grabs hold of them. Have a good laugh.
Tell a joke.
At you.
They could tell a joke. No, they could, so they can tell a joke into your mouth.
Oh yeah, okay, right? That's good.
Do you think that's what a laugh?
Yeah.
No. You're right. You're right. Because I think love handles are for the person making love to you. So, like, I think if there's a really funny comedian with big cheeks, I feel like maybe Pete Holmes, his cheeks feel like laugh handles. Not that he's, you know, the funniest guy in my book of funny guys.
My big book of funny guys.
big book of funny guys. But
you also have a big book of funny women,
but I think his cheeks
right?
really do feel like laugh handles.
They do. And you know what? But Andy, I actually quite like it. You know, that from an evolutionary point of view, that maybe we needed them so that people could tell jokes to you and you could really focus. Like these days, it's almost more important now.
Mm.
They're more important.
Oh, where there's so many demands on people's attention.
Yeah, that's right. And so you really take up their full like eye absorbing area.
this feels like this could be a show at the comedy festival. It's one on one, but you do it grabbing onto the single audience member's cheeks, locking them in like that, like you're greeting a little baby.
Yeah.
But you do your full hour show like that.
Oh, that's good. Mm. I mean, you know, in a very small room. It's in a public, like one of those, yes. like it. Okay, it looks like this, right? It looks like it's one of those portaloos, but there's no hole, there's no toilet.
Mm.
Right, but it does. Yep. It is, and it's in the shade, so it doesn't get super hot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's actually like the toilet's still there, but it's all filled with ice to keep it cool.
I'm trying to think. That's nice. I mean, that's beautiful. You take. I'm picturing a scenario.
Mm.
A beautiful scenario, Alistair,
yeah.
in which you lead your beloved into a bathroom, and it seems as if it's going to be a sordid tryst, you know, some frantic, grotty lovemaking in a dirty bathroom. But then you open the lid of the toilet, it's filled with ice, and there, nestled in the ice, a bottle of Moët Chandon, and you're actually going to have a beautiful romantic evening. Maybe this is what it is. You're at an orgy. Right?
Yeah.
A disgusting, sex-depraved orgy.
Another one.
Everybody is making love. Yeah. Another one, did you say?
Yes, another one.
Yeah, another one. Everyone out in the rest of the area, the room, whatever it is making sick, carnal love to one another. But then, when you want to take things to the next level,
yeah.
right, you drag your...
beloved.
Your intended. I'm dragging my carcass everywhere these days, Alistair. Every time I move, I think of it as dragging the old carcass.
I'm referring to my carcass overseas. Going to a colder winter so I can keep it fresher for longer. But it's the
You're
movie.
Right.
It's the movie... Endless summer, right?
Mm.
But it's endless winter for a guy whose right. body is deteriorating, and he tries to stay in the winter. 24
this is the thing about they don't tell you about frostbite.
Yeah,
right. It's only a problem when you start to defrost. There's nothing right. wrong with having a frozen foot. There is a problem with having a foot that has frozen and then defrosted, a thawed foot.
You know, I like that. From the decomposing man.
So this guy, he's got to stay. He's an ice climber who both his legs have become completely frozen. So he has to travel from winter to winter, keeping those legs icy. It's the movie Crank, but his legs are frozen. He's got to keep his legs really cold.
He's got to keep his girlfriend complaining about the weather, about the temperature.
He's got to keep his girlfriend begging to turn up the thermostat.
Well, what if it's like, I know this is almost not, this is, I don't think this is an improvement, but I'm going to say it. It's like.
I'm excited.
For some
Couldn't
reason.
Be more
it's,
excited
it, I'm
this.
Mixing your idea and my idea. It's
yeah, good.
He's. Gotta keep his girlfriend complaining about his cold toes touching his leg. touching her leg.
Yeah, or he'll explode.
Or they'll explode. So that means that he can't actually allow his feet to warm up on her legs.
To warm up.
He's got to keep getting them even colder while the other one's still cold on the leg and starting to warm up.
It's such a good idea, Alistair. Oh,
Andy, it's the perfect crank. And it'll be called Crank.
Cranky.
This will be about how she's feeling. About your toes.
Crank up the thermostat, honey.
Is what she's that's in gonna, brackets. That's one of the things, that's what she'll say.
The tagline of the movie is up the thermostat, honey.
Exclamation up the thermostat, boys.
Anyway, I'm going to try and take us back in time to an idea I had.
Yeah, great. Because I left a gap in the ideas. Because I knew there was something there that I'd missed.
But Alistair, you can't. But there's no. I don't think I can get back because there's no way you can dangle a little crank riff in front of me like that.
Oh, I mean,
you tempt me off the beaten track.
I mean, where were you? You were somewhere in between. Guy who's had his who's had all these body parts removed, and then there was something about a baby. Was that right? Maybe there was nothing about a baby.
I was grabbing the face of a baby. It was a bit like grabbing the face of a baby. The laugh handles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the one-on-one comedy show.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to write down the laugh handles. I think that's almost something.
This is going to be part of my movie. Well, I think the existence of love handles implies the existence of live handles and laugh handles.
Live handles?
If one can... Well, yeah, live, laugh. Is it? No, live, laugh, love? Is that what that...
Yes, okay. Yeah. Mm. There's also eat handles and pray handles.
Now, what would pray handles be? Would that be a... do you pray when you... Do you hold the feet of the Pope to pray sometimes if he had really flabby, wide feet? No, he washes your feet, doesn't he?
He washes your feet. Is that right?
But maybe you hold his hand and kiss his hand or his ring?
You do kiss his ring. I do remember finding that really unsettling whenever I went to... A few times I went to church, I went to Mass, and just seeing, like, people walk up there, and there seemed to be so many things they needed to do. And some of them involved to kissing, bowing, and kissing rings, and then they had to go get something out of a little chamber. And I just felt so anxious at knowing that I wouldn't know what to do if I ever was asked to go up there. Bowing before having to go up a step. Oh, you got to bow and pray before the step.
It's just this accumulation of bullshit, right? Mm. Like, along the way, some new dude has come in and he's had his own weird little fetish, his own weird little thing he wants you to do for him. But in order to maintain his authority, he has to maintain the authority of all the previous guys and their weird little fetishes. Yeah. So you've got to do all of them. Now, if he says those ones don't matter, that might imply that his one also doesn't matter. So you just got to keep adding things on, like that caterpillar that keeps all its old heads on top of its head. You know that caterpillar?
No, it sounds like a caterpillar with tectonic plates or something.
It's a caterpillar, like, so as it grows, it sheds its skin, right? Yeah. But the one bit that it doesn't fully shed is its old, like, head skin.
Don't shed the head.
Its little skull. Don't shed the head. That's what they say. Yeah. And so it carries around this little pile of smaller and smaller heads on top of its head. It's real pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, does that look nice?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a little pile of skulls.
Yeah, well, that's
on
cool.
Top of your head.
What's one
it
of those
nice.
Places with all the skulls that they have? They seem to have a lot of them in Europe.
This is what I was talking about, Alistair. You're at the orgy.
Okay.
And you take your beloved into the bathroom.
Okay, yeah.
And you are, because there, the next level is to have a romantic date.
Yes.
So you frantically drag them in, and then out of the toilet, you pull a bottle of champagne, and then maybe you try and, roast a lamb skewer under the Dyson Airblade.
Oh, yeah.
I'm running out of ideas.
I mean, I suppose, you know, like, it's an air fryer, right? It would be just like an air fryer, I suppose. You just put some oil in there.
I think it is.
Hot oil.
You could certainly dehydrate a few slices of tomato and make Dyson dried tomato.
I saw one recently that was like a circle.
Really?
Instead of the blade, they got the full circle. Which makes sense, because I guess then you get that effect with the when you blow something through, and then all the other air gets sucked in.
Is that the Bernoulli effect?
Could be Bernoulli. I mean, he's got his mitts all over all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But did you also see there's a way like that they inflate stuff for inflating like mattresses or whatever like now. Like let's say like a camping mattress, instead of a foot pump, you just have like a long bag. So you've got the mattress on the ground. It's empty. Right. And then you've got like a sort of a plastic bag in your hand. And then you just do that blowing into it, what with the big wide open hole. And then it completely fills up. And then you close it. And then you stick that into your mattress. And then you push that all into the mattress. And then you pull that out and you blow it up like that again. Instead of doing 500 pumps, you're just doing about 7 blows.
Right, so you blow up a big bag.
Yeah.
And then you push the air out of the bag into the mattress.
Because you can fill up the bag in one blow with the Bernoulli, Mr. Bernoulli's effect.
No shit, really?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
But if you put your mouth...
As a species, we're going to be okay.
But if you put your
mouth... I reckon we could use that to fix climate change somehow.
Yeah, I feel like we could too. We just blow into space. Have we
tried using Bernoulli on this thing?
You guys thinking about Bernoulli? You guys been Bernoulli in it? Feels like we could be getting way more wind power out of this somehow. You know what I mean?
How do you feel about this, Alistair?
Yeah, I love it.
I went to Africa and drove past some wild animals in a super fast Italian sports car with the author of the book Sapiens. Right? It was a Malawi Ferrari Safari with Yuval Noah Harari.
You know, I went to primary school with somebody called... My mom and beloved are both doing classes with her right now, Shari Castellari. And so the rhyme in high school was Shari Castellari drives a big red Ferrari on her African safari in her big red Ferrari.
No way.
It was. Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah. It was Shari Castellari drives a big red Ferrari on an African safari. Yeah. You know, and I'm I feel so bad that she has to hear. I mean, she probably doesn't have to hear that these days, but every time her name is mentioned, I do say it. You know, and that's...
She has to see it on your face.
Well, you know, we've actually not made eye contact since high school, so I have not seen her, but I do hear about her. And then I usually say it, and then I go, I feel so bad that happens every time I hear her name. For her, I feel...
Like that's really crazy to me, though.
She's very successful. She's doing very well.
Yeah, she can handle it.
She can handle it.
There are certain people who can handle you making up a little rhyme about their surname. It's like the Itty Bitty Tom Whitty Committee. Yeah. You know, Tom Whitty's doing fine.
That's right. And that's why we could put his name in there and we could have fun. You know, I mean, you wouldn't do it with a person who's, you know, these days, I feel, I wouldn't do it with a person whose life fills me with depression, you know, because their life is probably has some depression in it.
You know, comedy shouldn't punch down, right?
That's right.
But neither should little rhyming phrases.
Well, I think that maybe we need to start. I don't know if there's as many rules for the for the poetry world. I've never heard that poetry shouldn't punch down. And I think
you can't rhyme anything anymore. What they
I
say.
Think the poets have been getting away with murder all this time.
I mean, this is good. Maybe
murdering
get some of the heat of us.
People's characters start. Who don't have much character already. That's what we're worried about, right?
I don't know, Alistair. I don't know what you're saying.
We were talking about people's lives who, you know, like it would be punching down. So you're kind of almost saying like they. they don't have much to even punch. Anyway.
Sure.
I'm just thinking about this bathroom date before. When you're, I couldn't help but feel, you know, when you were lifting the lid to that toilet lid. And it was filled with ice. That whole bowl was filled with ice. And in there was a bottle of Moët Chandon. Of course, I think that is the official drink of the Two in the Think Tank podcast. obviously, except for wine and the cheese goblet.
It's the unofficial official drink.
It's the unofficial, like, probably sparkling wine. And it is an official champagne. I still call it a sparkling wine.
I wonder if on the 500th episode we could have cheese in a wine goblet. So we'll freeze some wine into the shape of a glass.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cheese amazing. Out of it. I don't think I've mentioned on the pod that my friend Tom, who I used to work with in a kitchen, had messaged me and said that he would love to be the private chef for the 500th episode.
I mean, and then we would cut to him
a couple times while and see if what he's going to make and stuff like that, so that we had a constant, influx of food, so that we didn't have those as much of a crash.
Now, Alistair, I didn't want to get ahead of myself and assume. When you said this, I was so excited, but I wasn't letting myself get as excited as I wanted to be, because I was like, I'm assuming he just means he'll prepare some food in advance.
No, he wanted us and to, we'll, he thought it would be great if we could cut to him.
Oh my God, Alistair.
So it means we would have
if on the moments when I allowed myself to dare to dream, I was like, but imagine if he was actually there.
Yeah, and I've already said I used to love that Gorgonzola gnocchi that you used to make at the cafe we worked at. And he's like, I could make that easy. And I went, oh my God, how soft of a food is that?
Well, indeed. it's like it was made for podcasting.
I mean, it has the potential to become the world's official podcasting food. Nothing in that has a single sound in it.
But even the G is silent.
Okay, I mean, even the fact that gnocchi has kind of like a mold in it, which means that it's a cheese you approach carefully.
You mean Gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola. I think it does often have a bit of blue in it, you know?
Yeah. And that is my only hesitation, is that it might sit in the stomach a bit heavy.
No way.
You know?
Well, Andy.
You don't think it's going to slow you down?
You know how if it fixed that? You just have a smaller bowl. I'm not suggesting, Andy.
See, I'm not interested. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. I can't make any guarantees. You do know me, Alistair.
Andy's had a big bowl of gnocchi. Oh no, Andy's out. It's the first.
It's hour. It's hour two.
And it's like
finished off his second big bowl of creamy gnocchi.
Those images of Andy in hour 20 or hour whatever, with you just like. Sitting, you're almost sitting on your neck, you know, instead of your ass, because you're leaning down so much. Your hair's all messed up, right? But we're 45 minutes in, you've just had a big fuck-off bowl of gnocchi. You're chock-a-block.
I'm knock-a-block.
You're knock-a-block.
I'm chock-a-knock.
It's just like your gallbladder is just squirting insulin into your body.
Just like a firefighter desperately trying to put out a fireworks factory. A single firefighter standing in the face of a pyrotechnic inferno.
Andy's
backup's not coming.
Different systems are just shutting down. Nervous system, eyes, legs. I can't walk. I can't see. I'll gargle the next few sketches.
I think the full expression should be chock-a-block with knock.
Chock-a-block with knock.
That's my final position.
How is this a sketch? Is there any way we can turn this into a sketch? This,
I mean, the only thing I can think of is the Gnocchi Olympics.
Yeah.
And it's an Olympics in which everybody's had a big bowl of gnocchi before they start.
You know, I think that actually works. I mean, you know, in terms of like making it more accessible to everybody, I think it probably works as gnocchi, but if you made it a stack of pancakes.
Yeah, sure.
The pancakes.
Just, it's just the full Olympics. It's the Olympics, but everybody's full.
Full belly Olympics?
Full belly.
I think...
Higher, faster, stronger, fuller.
I think that's fun because... I mean, I don't know why that hit for me. It might have been because it's good.
Yeah, I don't think that was it, but I'll take it.
Higher,
what
faster,
is it? Altius,
what? Fuller. Higher, faster,
Ventus,
fuller.
Ventus, fortis. Higher, faster, stronger, fuller. Thank you, Alistair. Thank you.
It worked for me.
Did you write down the thing about the romantic date at the orgy in the bathroom?
I mean, I've wrote down romantic date, bathroom date romantic. I think I've written romantica accidentally, but I don't understand romantica. What the orgy part has to do with it.
Well, because I'm trying to see, I'm picturing that scene that you might have seen depicted in a sitcom or in a rom-com in which people are at a dignified dinner, but they're getting horny.
Yeah.
You know, it's a dinner party or they're in a restaurant or something and they take each other into the bathroom to take one another's clothes off and do what I like to think of as the dirty deed.
And what's that? Go to the toilet?
Yeah.
There's almost no deed that's dirtier.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe killing someone with a frozen turd. Oh, how did he do it? There's a dead body. There's holes in its chest, and and his chest smells like shit. And there's just a turd there.
A lot of diarrhea all over the floor.
How did he do it? I just assumed he was dying and then he had diarrhea all over himself.
There's one. This was a brain teaser that I had in a fucking book when I was a kid. It's a guy is found hanging by his neck in a barn, right? And it's how did he do it, right? There's like his finger a meter off the ground or some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, this man has taken his own life. It's a real brain teaser. How did he do it? And he's standing on a block of ice, right?
Yeah.
Well, in our version, this is our book. Our book.
He's standing on a block of frozen diarrhea.
This is our book, Brain Teasers. But every mention of water has been replaced with diarrhea.
Oh, shit.
That's the name
Brian
of the
teases.
Book.
No, that's not good.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
What were we talking about?
Okay, wait. So,
do other people know what they were talking about?
Yeah. It's the okay.
Oh,
so
yeah. Well, that's
I
what
still
I'm
want
trying
to understand
say,
this.
Right?
Okay.
And so this is the flip. My flip is that. I was trying to like find a way in which you would take somebody to the bathroom for a dinner. Right. Well, basically all I wanted was to open the toilet and for there to be a bottle of champagne in there. And then I thought, well, is it a well enough known trope that people at some dignified dining type occasion might take one another to the bathroom to have sex?
Yeah.
Then if I were to invert that trope, assuming such a trope exists, I have a feeling it does, but I could be wrong. It might not be consequential enough to withstand the inversion. It might fall apart in my attempt at inversion, but then there's an orgy, but everyone's having sex. Obviously, we depict that in full in the sketch.
In full. It's going to take many, many minutes.
Mm. And then they drag somebody into the bathroom to, I guess, put their clothes on, tear their clothes onto their body, and... and have a nice dinner.
Yeah, in the toilet. I just thought the inverse would have been.
Why does it have to be that you drag someone to the toilet to have sex?
Yeah, I guess.
Couldn't it be something nice?
Couldn't it be? Yeah. I mean, unless it was too...
Because sex, as we all know, is not nice.
I mean, it's not pleasant.
If you're doing it right.
If you do it right. I just think... I mean, for me, the inversion is more, it's two bathroom attendants.
Mm.
They're on break and they're both going to the toilet at the same time.
In the same toilet?
yes. And when their butt, and as they're pooping and their butt cheeks accidentally touch, their eyes meet.
Their butt cheeks touch across a crowded toilet bowl.
And their eyes meet. And they say, let's take it outside. And then they go into the crowded kitchen, the crowded sort of dining room where everyone's eating. And they start making out. And they start throwing themselves up against diners. And just,
Alistair, yeah. I mean, I want to thank you for this because it's made me feel much more confident about my inversion. My version of the inversion.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that if either of our versions weren't, we hadn't heard what the original thing was, I think it would have been difficult to see it as an inversion.
I completely agree.
But I think...
Were you going to say something else about... Oh, sorry, you go on.
No, you tell me.
Were you going to say something else about the bottle of Moët Chandon? Because you talked about that being the official drink of the podcast, and I think that got us distracted onto another train.
Well, if I could get us distracted a little further... I just think that would be fun to get a real endorsement from Moët Chandon. I think I'm ready now to move away from joke endorsements. And now I think I really want to be... I think that they could find a new market because rappers have Hennessy. And I know other drinks have other things. You know, other things have other drinks. But I think the podcaster's drink is still up for grabs. And I think that we could settle on Moët Chandon.
Can we, and I'd like to sweeten the offer a little bit for them. I'm willing to offer them this slogan for their drink. Get your hand on a Chandon.
Get your hands on a Chandon. Wait. But what about the Moët? Because there is already a brand called Chandon that...
Oh, really?
I think they were the same thing. I'm not sure if they're all the same, but if you could just get something that rhymes with Moët before that, you could get a much bigger, more satisfying rhyme. Go away and get your hand on a Moët Chandon.
You did it.
Moët.
There's no way your hands on a Moët Chandon.
No way. Moët. Chandon. Hand on.
This is good.
I have forgotten. Wait. Okay.
No, we are ready to have luxury goods of any kind.
I have had a few podcasts that I've listened to stuff like, you know, people that I've listened to, not necessarily for a long time. Like, okay, I've started seeing a few podcasters where all they talk about now is how much money they have and all their rich people kind of activities that they do. And
really?
It's a weird thing to hear, and it's not something that, you know, our listeners will ever have to go through. I don't imagine.
I mean, we could do a rich episode of the podcast. We did recently a special Christmas episode.
That's true. I know, but do you think about the rich things that you would do? Like, I'm listening to one podcast where this is the French podcast from Montreal, where he's talking about, you know, how he's bought a flamethrower. And
he's a classic rich person
thing. At one point, he was just like, he just mentions in passing how he was talking with a friend about how they should buy a radio station.
Yeah. I mean,
he's like, because it was only a few million bucks. You know, and then there was another part where he was like saying that somebody had offered him $7 million for his podcast, like a company to buy it. You know, he would keep doing it, but they would own the podcast and he would get the money or whatever. Yeah. But then how he was like, no way. It's like, I'm not doing it for less than, you know, I think he might have been saying $100 million
for the podcast.
Yeah.
What is this French? Is this a Montreal French? Is this a French-Canadian podcast?
Yeah, it's a podcast called Sous-Écoute. And the comedian is bilingual. His name is Mike Ward. And you may know him.
Wardy.
Hey, Wardy, mate. How's it going? But, you know, it's like, I think it's just like, if you're talking about your life, I guess at some point things go good. And then you're like, well, this is actually what's happening now. It's not all that, but you know, it's also happened with, you know, what's his name there, bearded guy, Tom Segura. Now it's sure. Like, oh, he's doing helicopter lessons and things like that. I don't really listen to Tom Segura's podcast, but I get a lot of clips from his podcast appear in my YouTube feed.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
You
know, it'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different path, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be great. Is like a podcast or something that people listen to, where suddenly the people start getting really poor.
What do you mean? It'd be great. Like, I mean, that's us.
It'd be funny.
That's me.
I know. Well, Andy, it's not that. I mean,
that's this podcast.
I know, but you're still. I mean, we're not like doing super well.
Yeah, but we're still keeping alive, we're actually in a great position.
Just the fact that you are managing to keep four of your farm of children alive, you know, I think is already
the key four.
Yeah, you know, but you picture if you picture this kind of podcast set in the time of like, maybe it's like somebody who works is one of the staff on hand at one of those. Royalties, like, you know, British royalties where they like lost like 13 children.
Right.
You know, when back in the day when people were just kind of like, there just wasn't medicine and.
Yeah.
You know, and they were, you know, they were kind of like, everybody was struggling. They were just drinking, they were probably drinking beer because water was too dirty.
Yep.
See, I think that.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Why are we associated with the royalty? If we're trying to pick somebody who's really poor,
well,
it's not somebody who's anywhere near the royalty.
No.
It's somebody who's like in a fucking hole in the ground.
Yeah. But I think they have to have started out, like when they were doing the podcast, they were doing all right originally. And then things have started getting bad. But not in a, I guess for this to work as a sketch, part of it has to be that it goes bad from their own doing. Because I think that in human minds, we think that if something goes bad for somebody because of a decision they made, then we don't have to feel as bad. But if it happens due to, something that's kind of just, it just happens to
outside
them.
Outside of their control.
Yeah. Then we're like, oh, that's a poor sod.
I don't know. I feel pretty bad about people whose lives go bad.
I feel bad about
decisions
that too.
They've made.
I feel bad about
that. In fact, like awful people, really terrible people, if they end up destitute or they lose even a lot of their money, even if they're still fine, I feel really bad for them.
Yeah.
But
think about think about this. You've been listening to their podcast, right? And now all they do is, like, they try to do the other stuff, but they really just complain about how bad things are. And so the quality of the work is going down. It's a bit like, Who was the, like, that kind of, like, the first American stand-up guy?
Lenny Bruce. Yeah, yeah. Lenny Bruce. You know, his life seemed to go pretty bad.
Yeah, just as he kind of, like, just started to focus. Like, imagine if he had a podcast. And it, like, I mean, essentially that's what it was. He was just standing in front of crowds reading bits of legislation and how they're fucking him. The police are against him and things like that. And then, you know, and he's probably partially in a drug psychosis a little bit. I don't know. But
yeah. You hope so.
I mean, think about how funny that would be as a sketch.
But it's a podcast.
All right. Well, I'll write it down. Funny podcast.
I guess
if I just write down the word funny podcast, we'll know what that means. Oh, somebody's life is deteriorating because they're getting really poor. And
I mean, but do they still do sponsorship reads?
Yes.
Right? Are there sponsorships?
The sponsorships are getting worse too.
Yeah. Are the sponsors now just things they found? Dead animals they found on the side of the road that they could rip a bit of meat off to bring back to their family.
Yeah, well, now they eventually have to just start advertising their own stuff that they find. Is that what you mean? Like, let's say he finds some meat on the thing and he's like, you should buy it. And he tries to invent a company. It's from the Jacket Company.
No, I don't think that's it, Alistair, because I think it would be...
Email them.
This podcast is brought
LennyBruce@gmail.com.
This podcast is brought to you by the dead fox I pulled the eyeballs out of to eat.
Yeah.
If you are interested in eating a bit of the dead fox, why not check out the dead fox?
Why not send me, come over to my house and give me a little bit of money for some of the fox?
Mm. Yeah, well, if you come round to my house and give me a bit of money, I'll tell you where the fox is.
It's not in my house, so don't think you can just come and take the fox and overpower me. Because I'm weak, because all I've been eating is fox eyes. Well, no, it's not in my house.
I think there's something in this, Alistair. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it feels like there could be something in there. It's the sniff of something. It's the very outside edge. It's like when you find a fraction of a tooth and you say, I think I've discovered a new dinosaur.
I mean, I think that we could make it as a podcast series.
Mm.
And something happens where the two guys' lives start getting so much worse. Maybe it's just like while we're doing it, the part of it is just maybe the climate collapses. A tipping point happens.
Oh, this is getting funnier. I'm feeling better about this, more positive.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy.
We're releasing, like, I mean, if you and me announced that we were doing a podcast on the climate science, and then we had like 10 episodes, and then by the 10th episode, it was just, I guess one of us was eating the other one live on air.
Mm. Yeah, right. You're right.
And
I think that would be really interesting. I think it starts out as quite like dry science stuff.
Yeah.
But then I think that's a really good idea. It starts out as dry science. So it starts out factual and it ends up fictional. Yeah. Right? Like it turns into its own speculative thing.
Yeah. And we would make it real enough that we would make it real enough that, like, you know, we would just regular riff, but then some of the irregular riffs we could expand that later on into actual things like, oh, it's that thing, you know, remember that thing I said my kid did? Well, he doesn't do that anymore because fun has left his eyes.
Well, I think, what about, like, and also, you know, you have in the episode one, you have a real expert on the podcast, and by episode three, like four or five, you're like, I was thinking about getting that expert back in the podcast studio, But when I saw him in the street, he just screamed and ran away. I mean, I was chasing him pretty fast with a stick. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We'd find a thing like that that is just like that's just within the realm of believability.
Or just without.
Do you think we'd release it on the Two in the Think Tank feed?
I mean, it would be an interesting thing to just, you know, have in there.
Because then...
Maybe we're doing it right now.
Because then we could just draw some eyeballs to the to the regular Two in the Think Tank after that. And we just go, oh, that's it. Oh, you think we're doing it right
Alistair,
now? Hey?
Alistair, if society does collapse...
Yeah.
And everything, the Earth becomes uninhabitable...
You're about to let... So I'm allowed to eat you?
Do you want to try and do one last podcast before?
I think it would be nice. I mean, if we can get the time away from our partners.
Yes, indeed.
Now, I don't know what it's like when society collapses, but I feel like the people in your life get a little bit clingier.
Yeah.
And it'll be hard. But you know what? If there's electricity, or at least a little bit of power left in my phone and computer.
Let's save the last little bit for a quick poo in the shorts. We'll release poo in the shorts too.
I think that sounds great, Andy.
Just enough battery left.
I think that will be a great last one as well.
Because
we really, there was just nothing left. This was all there was. The only thing that could stop us was the world collapsing.
We needed that to happen in order for...
To be able to stop doing the podcast.
Can I tell you something, Alistair?
Yeah.
I've decided that this is the only thing that science can't explain with the anthropogenic principle, etc.
Yeah.
Right? Because the anthropogenic principle is very powerful. Basically saying that things couldn't be other than they are. Right? Because that's how we observe them. Right? The fact that we exist... means that things have to be the way that they are.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to see
in order for us to be able to observe them. So that's why, like, you know, the force of gravity is as strong as it is because it had to be this strong in order for us to exist and be able to observe it. Is that right?
Here's what I can't handle, though.
Yeah.
The eclipse, right? Why is the moon the exact fucking size to obscure the sun? That's so weird and specific, right? Doesn't need to be like that.
Yeah, do you think that one's too? It's too on the nose.
Well, it is. It feels like an artistic choice.
Yeah,
right?
And so they are exactly the same size, or is the moon just a little bit bigger?
To the point where, just either side of the eclipse, you see the tiny little. You can see little bits of light leaking around the moon,
yeah,
right, to do with the imperfections in the shape of the surface of the moon, right? This is something that was on the latest episode of
Susan
Who Knew It with Matt Stewart.
Oh, right.
Right? And just that fact,
yeah,
that fucking eclipse thing, I can't handle it.
I had a guy tell me that while I was sitting in a volcano once. And he had just given me a bit of weed and he was like, isn't it weird? Isn't it weird? I mean, I'll say that I was sitting in a volcano. It was in Rotorua in New Zealand. And he's like, look around, we're in a volcano. Like that. And then he goes, isn't it fucking weird how the moon and the sun are exactly the same size? And I went, oh. Suppose so. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it is weird, Andy. I will give you that. It is very strange. I mean, I think when that guy who I like who does the consciousness stuff and, you know, all the stuff is reality is just created by our brains and all that kind of stuff. And one of the pieces of evidence that he put forward is the amount of symmetry that there is in the world. And so he used that as an example of something that could be evidence for why, like, that the world is created by our brains because it's like a compression algorithm, so stuff doesn't have to take up as much space.
Yeah.
You know, like, the memory. And then, you know,
yeah.
And then you kind of like have like stuff like, you know, why space and subatomic particles and stuff like that are, there's like, you know, there's uncertainty down there, or there's uncertainty at the subatomic particle level, and that there's almost nothing beyond a certain point in space. And so those both seem like, oh, somebody just couldn't be fucked having to, like, design all those bits.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Oh, they're never going to look here, right? Nobody's ever going to look down here. Let's not bother. Let's just stop.
Yeah, we don't have to determine where the universe. Particles are at all times.
What,
surely.
I don't know exactly where they are. That's crazy.
Who cares?
Every single one. Nobody's going to look that closely. And then we made machines to look that closely, and they're like, ah!
Oh, those fucks. But I mean, the machines might be our own brains, right?
Mm.
There's an element in which it's like, you know, we're maybe just seeing a fraction of the universe that's there. And so when we do look, we're like, oh, this doesn't... Anyway, it doesn't matter. I can't actually explain what the fuck I'm saying, so...
No. And I must sound like a real idiot to a lot of people.
But Andy...
But I just...
No, but Andy, we're...
It brings me joy. It brings me a kind
nice
of joy.
It's nice to dabble in the kookness occasionally.
Yeah, I'll treat myself to a little nibble,
Andy,
of the kooky.
This felt warm and comforting, and I think that we could become kooks, full-blown kooks.
A couple of kooks. Yes.
Two in the kook thank. Oh, what? Why thank?
No.
Why kook
but that's
thank?
What it is, isn't it?
You know, today... You
too
know
many kooks spoil the growth in the think tank.
You know what I was thinking of today about Little Italy? Because my
little
dad
Italy.
Said, leg a lamb. And I was like, I have a leg a lamb and Little Italy. Leg a lamb, Little Italy.
Yeah, it's really
leg a lamb, Little Italy. All right, Andy, we have at least 5 sketch ideas. We are going to go to 3 words from a listener. What... Do you think the first word is?
The first word? Caravan.
Oh.
First word is caravan.
First letter right. Third letter.
Oh.
Third letter is what the second letter is.
Oh, wow.
The second letter is what the third letter is.
Whoa.
And
is
the
it
last
crash?
Eh?
Is it crash?
No.
Oh.
It's cracker.
Cracker.
It's what you and I are.
Mm. Cracker joke?
Cracker? No, Andy, not cracker joke. You're thinking too festive, Andy. You've picked a theme and it was the wrong theme. The second word is lacquer.
Cracker, lacquer. Is it slacker?
Andy.
Is it packer?
Think about
is
the
part. Fracas. Fracas.
No, I'm sorry. Fracas. But you did great putting an A at the end. Is that what you said, A at the end?
Fracas.
Yeah, I would never use that word, and I don't really entirely know what it means. But you made a good choice. It was... did end in a kind of CA. It didn't have the S at the end, but it is cloaca.
Yeah. Of course. Cracker, lacquer, cloaca.
That would
Alistair,
be nice,
this brings
it, like,
me to an idea that I've been incorporating into my sci-fi try guys that we're trying to get out for this month's bonus episode. I came up with the idea of ass prison.
Ass prison.
Well, I wish I could say it like you say it, because I think it sounds way better. Ass prison. Ass prison.
Ass.
Right? Ass.
Yeah.
And what it is because the prisons are so full, right? The government can't fit any more people in prison. So what do? Instead, they invent ass prison.
Yeah.
And it's what the government puts a little locking device on your ass.
Yeah.
And instead of locking you up for, you know, a year or whatever, they're just like, you're not going to be able to shit for 6 to 8 weeks.
Right? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, or whatever, like however long it's going
to
be.
Six to eight weeks.
Like,
are they sending you a package that you've mail ordered?
I guess that's where those numbers came from. But in a way, yeah, there is a package coming, and it's going to be...
Oh, but the thing is, I think that even with a see, here's the problem with the one flaw with their device is that I think no matter, I mean, look, maybe I'm picturing this wrong, but I picture an ass prison. You could still just shit around.
I guess that, I mean, from their point of view, I think the government has worked out the kinks.
Oh yeah, they've worked out the kinks. Yeah.
Such that the ass.
I guess I was just
picturing
a chastity belt.
Yeah,
and that
sure.
You could just fill it up.
Either that or the punishment is you have diarrhea for 6 weeks. But I think the ass prison and locking off your butthole is...
Oh, imagine if they paralyzed your butthole. They shut down all your butthole systems.
Yeah.
And then your butthole just kind of lays there like limp. Like its mouth
full,
his mouth agape. Its drooping eye, you know, like that.
Yeah. What do you say? You're parasplegic. You are.
You're paras. Is that what you said? Parasplegic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. So you can't move your arms, your leg, or your anus.
Yeah. Well, I guess in this case it's just your ass.
Okay.
But yeah.
Ass ras plegic.
What's the ras doing in there? Why are there two asses in your ass?
I don't know. It's double ass. It's ras. You know, like ass on ass. So
that's an exciting little teaser for Sci-Fi Try Guys.
It was very tantalizing, Andy. And so, are we using that for cracker, lacquer, cloacker?
Well, just the lacquer and the cloacker gave me the image of like sealing over the opening, the passageway. Mm-hmm. And
I like the idea of a Christmas cloacker that you get
on.
And you break open and there's like something inside.
Yeah,
you know, like a
sure.
joke.
Mm.
You know, because like, and the reason why I'm saying you break it open is I do feel like it's been kind of candy coated or something like that. It's had like something painted over the top that's made it crunchy. You probably can eat it. It probably tastes like a cinnamon roll, I think. Like it's been treated. It's probably the cloaca has been sort of boiled in sugar water.
Candied. That is interesting.
You know? And then, but inside the folds, you know, there is a little gift in there. Maybe you got to find a penny, you know, maybe you got to get a joke. I mean, it's got to be something new, I think. It could be, you know, you get a raffle ticket in the big... in the big
a scratchy?
Oh, a scratchy.
Yeah.
A
little lottery ticket in
there. It'd be great if it becomes, it's like instead of a scratchy, it's a pokey. You get a pokey. Like not a pokey, like a poker machine. But this is like a pokey. Okay. And you got to put your finger through the cloaca hole.
Yes.
And then, you know, there could be folded up money or like the deed to a house.
Yeah, wow. You know? It's a lucky dip.
Yeah, it's a very lucky dip. But it's a lucky poke. Okay, maybe this is not it.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. I think I'm getting a bit tired, so I'm not like not latching on as I should be.
No, it's okay, Andy. Right? You're like a baby who's just learning how to breastfeed.
Yeah,
you know, I'm offering
latching.
You high
I'm not
quality. You know, that golden first like syrup there,
colostrum. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah,
and
you need a bossy midwife to come in and just grab
I mean, that's what you need, Andy.
And
you
force
need
a, the baby's
You need
head
someone
onto
to
it.
Push you onto my idea and start, you know, pumping. But you are not...
So I can guzzle on the rich comic potential. rich.
You're not...
And hearty.
You're not taking the good stuff. So I'm going to have to sell this... these sketch ideas to some bodybuilders.
The colostrum that bodybuilders like,
yeah,
it's not from humans, right? It's not. It must be cow colostrum.
Yeah, I would say mostly. Must but I think for, that they would yeah, take right. woman colostrum if they could get it.
I'm sure they would.
But
they'll
if you
take
see how much bodybuilders need to eat, right? Mm. This would not, you know, the meager amounts that feeds a baby would not satisfy them at all.
Yeah, I wonder if there are other forms of colostrum. You know, the
or
first
abundant
little
forms.
Bit of lava out of a volcano.
Ah, that first.
The first. Let's see.
The first drip of water out of a tap. Ah, that tap age.
The first Harry Potter fan through the doors of a convention, of a gathering of a wizard's
I suppose
gathering.
If you were like a, maybe if you were like a like you know like a somebody who hunted Harry Potter fans, you know. And you were talking to another group of Harry Potter hunter, Harry Potter fan hunters, there would probably would be something where you're like, you know, you'd probably get a job at a convention, and then you would wait to see who the first people to come through are, because they would have a specific enthusiasm, the first people who get there, that I think would be more enjoyable
you would like
to enjoy seeing leaving their eyes.
I also think that there is, like, if you're talking about, like, the queue to buy a new iPhone, right, with people spending lots of money to buy their way to the front of that line, to be the first through the doors to buy the new iPhone, much like colostrum, they probably are rich and thick.
It's really good, isn't it?
They are truly the colostrum of iPhone purchases.
Purchases. And so
and
then you think that if you
so
were
they would be good for bodybuilders to eat. they get grabbed by bodybuilders. They're awaiting there inside the doors of the Apple store, hiding around the corner, and they grab those first people
so
through
this,
the doors.
It's a sketch.
And they tear them apart with their bare hands and they eat them there in front of everybody.
I mean, eating a person probably
they,
would be
you can watch them grow
would,
bigger and
would
stronger.
Would be very good for you for the protein. You know, all right.
I mean, imagine if you could get the colostrum of a bodybuilder.
I mean, imagine it's, that.
It's apex colostrum.
Eating a
apex
bodybuilder.
Predator.
I mean, in terms of the humans that you would, like people always try to go, oh, well, their meat would be tough. But you would slow cook it.
Of course. You're not crazy.
We're not crazy.
Do you think there's such a thing as an apex parasite?
Oh, yeah, there must be.
Apex predator. So what would an apex parasite be? Would it be a parasite that sucks on other parasites? I wonder if there are parasites. I guess there must be parasites.
Yeah, I mean,
parasites.
It's still just a parasite.
But then are there parasites on the parasites on the parasites?
I guess your kids are are parasites, right?
They are a little parasitic.
A little Andy? Yes. Come on, go say it. Go walk into their room and say it out loud.
I'm recording this right outside their bedroom.
Just
the door
think,
of the bedroom.
Just think of all the half episodes of Two in the Think Tank that they're getting into their brain subconsciously.
They're absorbing.
All the word, all the mentions of diarrhea that they get while they sleep that enter their brains and affect their dreams. And, oh, a guy was hanging himself in a thing and then... And then
the
there
colostrum
diarrhea
of diarrhea. Oh, the first bit
I
of
wonder
diarrhea.
If the first bit of diarrhea. Oh, you could feed to a bodybuilder.
Well, if bodybuilders get fecal transplants, they demand to get only a fecal transplant from the first. I get what would they want? They'd want the meconium of the baby.
I think the idea is that a bodybuilder who got the first of something, got the first colostrum, suddenly now wants to eat the first of everything because he thinks it'll just be better. Especially eating the first iPhone buyer.
That's the cloaca. What a beautiful synergy of idea and words. The parallels are immense.
Are immense. Ah, yes. Are you Alex Lloyd? I don't think I mentioned Alex Lloyd. I apologize. Alex Lloyd, you must be so joyous with your...
Alex Lloyd, getting your clue on Who Knew It with Matt Stewart and your words read out on Two of the Think Tank in the same week.
Can you believe it?
Oh.
Who you did amazing knew it? Things, I suppose Alex you Lloyd. Did. You did. Something about how you live your life means that deep down you knew what you were doing. I wonder what the... there is a kind of like a greater connection group of podcasts and friends in Melbourne. I wonder if there is a name for this group. With including the kind of the Sans Pants and the Weekly Planet guys and the Matt Stewart's.
Yeah, sort of like a frat pack kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Like but it's like a flat watt pack. Flat watt pack, but of course.
Soy flat pack.
The soy flat watt pack. Anyway, let's not give that the name because that's real shit and everybody would hate that.
They're not gonna want to.
But if anybody does know a name for the Melbourne podcast people, let us know. Should we wrap up? Yeah. Do you think, Andy Matthews?
I think so. Sure. Let's wrap up.
I mean, this is.
Do you want to take us through the sketch?
It's so nice to Andy. It's so nice to do do a podcast while I'm still in Australia, despite still being, over 12, I'm probably like 10 hours or 11 hours away from where you are right now.
Mm.
We're doing these. Mm. We're both tired, You know what's good about that? When I go to Canada.
Do you think anyone ever says, if you're talking about two points that are underground, right? In a straight line between two points underground. Would you say, as the crow digs?
Yeah, maybe. Or as the mole crawls.
I think it's funnier to think of a crow digging.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, I know, but I think I thought it was the crow was enjoying it. You know what I mean?
No, he's not enjoying it.
Also, today I started doing the podcast in my parents' kind of basement, which smells like, oil and things like that. And it's not, it's not really a basement because it's still above ground, but it's under the front of the house's ground. But at the ground level at the back of the house. But it smells bad. And I think that this is what my podcasting situation is going to be like in Montreal. Because the house that we're going to be staying in is going to be quite small. And I think I'm going to have to go down into the basement to not wake up everybody when I podcast.
But then because you're on the other side of the world, by going down into the basement, you'll just be getting that little bit closer to me, Alistair. And I think that'll help.
It'll be a little gesture,
I think that'll come across. Hand.
In peace. All right, Andy, I'm going to take
as the crow digs.
As the crow digs. As the crow enjoys.
All right, take us through the sketches, Alistair. All right,
we've got the first sketch idea.
I'm sure painful for a lot of people.
The record for the most unnecessary body parts removed. And we imagine a funny scenario occurring with that.
Yeah.
And then we have the Laugh Handles comedy show. I mean... The sketch isn't 100% clear at this point, but I think it could have something to do with it's a new thing in order to allow people to just focus on a show and try to enjoy it the most. Is that it's got to be one-on-one and you got to just take up the person's full vision and hold on to their cheeks. Then we got The Endless Winter, which is a documentary about a decomposing man who tries to keep his body fresher for longer by traveling the world and going to the coldest places.
Crank up the thermostat, honey.
Yeah, but what was that one? That was crank. That was crank. But
he's got to keep his cold toes on his beloved.
Cold toes. Toes on upset wife. And then we've got bathroom date romantic. That was your idea about the inverse on the. I'm gonna write inverse.
When you make a point of saying that it was my idea, Alistair. Somehow Andy, that was makes your me our feel... idea.
Sorry, inverse restaurant. No, but like the inverse restaurant makeout.
Sorry, I didn't laugh enough at you saying that was our idea. Yeah. That's a great new twist on the our idea.
That was my our idea. It's so hard to say. That was your idea. That was my our idea.
Yeah, it's not.
Our idea. Because how you say our, I think, is very close to dia. Do you think that idea...
Dear.
I think idea should have an R at the end.
Yeah, of course.
Idea.
Come on, Alistair. Right. Let's do this. We're so close.
Okay, then we got...
These people are almost
full
free.
Belly Olympics. Higher, faster, fuller. Then we got the brain teaser killed with frozen diarrhea. Then we got funny podcast Lenny Proof.
In the full belly Olympics, the Olympic rings are just a little bit distended at the bottom. They look a bit more like a beer belly.
Oh, that's cool. I was picturing of some of them as plates, maybe.
Oh,
maybe the upper
too.
Ones are plates and the lower
clean
ones are
plates.
Bellies.
They've been. I hate it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Then
it's
we got
perfect.
The funny podcast, Lenny Bruce. As life getting worse gets worse. Sponsor, read, Dead Fox. Then we got the climate podcast where everything crumbles by the end.
I really enjoyed this episode, Alistair. Looking back on the on the sketch ideas, I don't feel good about any of them.
They're not, I mean, I think that the ideas are just, they're just going to take a little bit more work getting them there.
Yeah.
That's fine.
We're not the people to do that.
If there's fun in all of these, Andy, we had fun along the way, so there's got to be fun there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. You're completely correct. Alistair, have you finished reading them out?
The climate podcast where everything crumbles by the end, and then that's you and me. And then we got bodybuilder eating colostrum and then wants to get the first of other things, like eating the first iPhone buyer because they're rich and thick, like colostrum.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Think Tank. Anything to plug, Alistair?
We should do an episode in the whistle range. We should do it in Mariah Carey's whistle
the
range.
The whistle register.
The whistle register.
Yes.
Oh, imagine being a guy with a big lisp trying to talk about Mariah
these
Carey's
guys.
Whistle register.
You know, we'll be like...
He had a friend, you know.
We like the Bee Gees. They started to become a bit irrelevant. But then they invented disco music and sang in falsetto.
Yes.
We'll start podcasting in falsetto.
That's right. Or in the whistle register.
Two in the whistle register, that's we'll right. call it. Two beyond the range of human hearing. It's a podcast for dogs.
You don't even want to try.
What were you doing it just then? I didn't hear anything. I can't hear that on my headphones.
Andy, that's insane. That's not that high.
I heard a tiny, tiny click sound. But I'm not saying it's my hearing. I would never. I would never accept. It's not my hearing that's the issue, Alistair. It's the fucking. It's the compression of these. This medium that we're using.
Oh my God, Andy! Andy is deteriorating.
It's
next episode. Oh, Andy, you want to do a read about a dead fox? Want to start eating the eyeballs?
Alistair, is there anything you want to plug? Apart from your butthole.
Yeah, I want to plug it up.
As part of a experimental prison system.
Not right now. You know, you can always check out the Patreon if you guys are interested. But mostly I just want to plug you, the listener. I want to plug you guys and say that you are what I want to listen to.
Yeah, you know what you guys should listen to? Your heart.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say. That's what I was trying to put into
words. I've heard
words.
Good things. And
we love
you.
That's us listening to our hearts. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.